How many, now some of you aren't old enough to know, and so that's perfectly fine, but how many of you have heard of a guy named Mark Lowry? Any? Oh, good. So Mark Lowry is, if you haven't heard of it, he's a Christian comedian. He also does, I believe, some singing with the Gaithers. Now, I'm about as far from Gaithers as you could possibly be, this is what I understand. Mark Lowry has a bit, I think it's off of his album called Mouth in Motion. And there's a lot of funny bits in there, but he has, at one point in the middle of his routine, he asks if he can tell people what his favorite verse is. Tell them what his favorite verse is. And while I'm not Mark Lowry, I want to share that bit for you. He says, "My favorite verse in the Bible is, and it came to pass. It came to pass. It did not come to stay. It came to pass." And then he goes on, isn't that great? He says, whatever is going on in life right now, whatever is happening in life right now, it came to pass. And then he goes, you 18-year-olds, and I'm looking, where did Jace go? There he is. Oh, there's no Jace. No, he's not quite 18, but this is applicable here. He looks out of the crowd and says, you 18-year-old jocks with muscles in your ears, enjoy them now, because they will pass. And some of you older folks, 35 and up, are getting some gray hairs and some wrinkles. And some of you have blue hair. And he says he knows who you are. And then he goes on, he's saying, some of you haven't got any hair. And some of you went out and bought yourselves some hair. You've got aches, you've got pains, you've got arthritis. And he says, enjoy it now, because it will pass. Either it will pass or you will pass. And then he carries on about the life, the joys of life and the struggles of life, that they come, but they don't come to stay. They go on to pass. But there's a point to that. Either it will pass or you will pass. Isn't that encouraging to know? Don't you feel warm and fuzzy this morning as we wrap up our series on Ecclesiastes? We're going to talk about death. We're going to talk about looking forward to death. We're going to talk about chasing after death with all that we have, because chasing after life isn't necessarily going to get us out of death. It's even more inevitable than taxes. Although given the way governments work, I'm sure they would try to change that if they could and make death optional and taxes not. But we're coming to the end of our 8-week study in Song of Songs. We also came to the end of our, I don't know how many week study of Song of Songs. read the right page here, Emmons. We got Ecclesiastes. And we haven't covered by a long shot everything that this book has to offer. But we have covered several themes. We have looked at all the things that are many things that this world has to offer. And I hope that as we've looked at these different topics, that you have heard something new from not just the teacher, but you have heard something new from God about the things that we try to do and accomplish in this life with futility. But looking at things from God's perspective, that above the sun, in His view, in His perspective, there is more than just the ebb and flow, the ups and downs, the grind of life here. There is more to that than what you see. Eat, drink, be merry, for tomorrow you may die. Attitude that the teacher seems to have. But he concludes the end of his study, that everything is meaningless. Have you ever wondered why he does that? Why at the end of Ecclesiastes, of his, the teacher's, not the end of Ecclesiastes, but the end of the teacher's lecture in this city, why his conclusion is that everything is meaningless? Did you ever wonder why he, in fact, did this study? You ever wondered about that? Here is a man who is wise beyond his years, who has the opportunity and the time to research whatever he wants to. It's almost kind of like a dream job, almost sort of thing. But what is breathing down his neck, where he is fearful of and what he is trying to get out of, is death is looming at his door, and he's trying to find some sort of value, some sort of purpose, some sort of something out of all of this toil, all of this life, all the things that surround him, wealth, money, power, control, work, all of these things. He wants something to come out of this where he can be satisfied. And in the end, he says, no matter what happens, no matter how rich you are, no matter how powerful you are, no matter what your job is, no matter how many friends you get, no matter any of these things, you will die. And not only will you die, but you can't take it with you. People won't remember it. It won't matter. And in his opinion, and this is where, for such a smart guy, he's kind of missed the boat. If he was reading the prophets well around him, he was figuring that out, he would have seen towards Christ. But in his mind, he's not even sure that something happens afterwards. God gives equally to those who are righteous and unrighteous, and he doesn't even know. He's not even convinced that there is something more after death for him. It's just a meaningless done. And so we get those passages, the Carpe Diem passages, we talked about those several weeks back, that say, you know what, at the end, it's all, you're going to die anyway, so you might as well enjoy life while you can. Eat while you can, enjoy it, do all the things, don't worry so much about it, just live it up while you can. Enjoy what life has to give. And so the teachers, concluding Marx at the end of the book, sum up his view on life. Now, if you were to look around you today, magazines, if you were to look around and watch, if you actually watch commercials on TV, I don't know anybody does that anymore. I like commercials. I get a lot of world information out of commercials. They're amusing. Or if you were to look on social media, what the internet has to offer and things like that, there is a movement towards and a push even more to how to be healthier. Do these six things and you will live longer. Do these six things and you won't be as sick. Do these things and you will look like these models and these people who have muscles in their ears going on forever, right? You will do all of, if you live this way, if you eat this new superfood, man, there are more foods out there that are supposed to be good for me that I can't pronounce. And just when I think I've got quinoa down pat, And I don't think quinoa tastes at all. And then I'm told that quinoa's not good for me anymore. And there's another superfood that's even longer. And pretty soon, supercalifragilisticexpialidocious is not the longest word that I have to read in an ingredient list. All so that I can maintain my youthful good looks. Because I'm only looking, what, 30? 25 tops? What if I turn sideways? We celebrate the dad bod. We go, you have to, like, seriously, if you look at the world around, everything points to how do you live, how do you hold on to youth longer and avoid all the other things longer so that when you get to retirement age, you can get up and go play tennis for 4 hours in the morning, or you can do all the things that you couldn't do because you spent, but in the end, what does it get you? I don't know, maybe the suit fits better when you're lying in the coffin. I'm not sure. In the end, we die. And there is no way to sugarcoat that. There is no way to be nice about that. And it's not even that we have this idyllic, wonderful, peaceful thought of death behind us. Death is not pleasant. There are studies that show from the surviving people that death is rarely a peaceful passing. Death is a painful process. Your body shuts down. You don't remember things. It hurts. You're on so many drugs and hooked up to so many things to stop. You just want to be finished, but you keep holding on and people keep holding you on and holding you on. Death isn't fun. On occasion, there's the nice, peaceful passing. On occasion, it goes as it should. But the majority of the time, if left completely to our devices without any outside helps, it's not nice. And I imagine, and I have nothing to back this up except my own thoughts and imaginations, I imagine that when you are on that space, in that bed, and you are feeling your body shut down, that while there might be enough drugs to stop the pain of that, there is a pain of that, recognizing that you are going and there is loss. And what happens next becomes so much more important. And the teacher says there's nothing. He doesn't see beyond that. And he says it's all meaningless because you're going to die. And so we get at the end of Ecclesiastes this wonderfully uplifting passage that I just read. And he concludes the lecture with this. The study is done. You will die and it's all meaningless. And there is no hope in that. The picture in Ecclesiastes 12 that the teacher is giving, and it's a bit of a word image here. We've got this picture of a house. And the house has got people in it. And the people have closed the shutters. And the outside of the house looks great. There's an almond tree blossoming out front. And nature is going by. Grasshoppers are going by. But inside it is dying slowly. Inside it is not standing as straight. The people aren't standing as straight as they used to. They're stooped over a little bit. Inside, the teeth aren't working anymore because the teeth are falling out. The sight is gone. We cannot see. The blinds are closed. You cannot hear any longer because the world, the sounds are fading. Desire is no longer stirred. The zest to get up and do anything is no longer stirred. And then people are sad for a bit. But something that is valuable is broken and wrecked. A silver cord is severed. A golden bowl is broken. A pitcher is shattered. A wheel is broken at the well. And that which was valuable and we hold dear is broken and wrecked and left to nothing. And if we were to leave our thought, if we were to leave our study in Ecclesiastes in that place, you would walk out of here saying, Ryan, that is the most depressing sermon I have ever heard in my life, and please don't ever do that again, and wonder where is it all. But there is hope. There is truth. Because there is a second voice in Ecclesiastes. There is a second wise person in Ecclesiastes who is sitting in on this lecture. Who is sitting there, and at the end of it all, with intelligence in his mind and light in his eyes, turns to his son. And he says, son, I want you to take note of everything that this guy has said. And he may be a bit of a curmudgeon, and he may be a bit down on life, and this might have been really disappointing for you. But son, I want you to remember what he said was true. Under the sun, all of these things don't really matter. They're just a chasing after the wind, because just when you think you've got it, you want more. And just when you think you've got that, you want more. And it's never enough to satisfy. But son, what I want you to hear and what I want you to remember is that in all of this, there is hope. And that hope points us towards God. And so son, listen to me carefully. The conclusion of what the teacher is saying is this: fear God and keep his commandments. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. And out of this comes hope. Out of that comes meaning. Out of that, dear son, comes life and value to the life that you are living. And what will happen when you go? When our focus shifts from the under the sun perspective that the teacher brings, And we move our vision, our perspective to above the sun, to God's view and what God is doing, then we get an understanding, a better understanding of the plans that He has in store for the world that He has created. The frustrations and the meaninglessness and the meaningless chasing around that we experience can actually move us towards God and towards purpose in Him. And the last journey of death is no exception. The passage in Romans that Alexis read, and at this point we need to switch to the New Testament. Passage in Romans that Alexis read is really Paul's commentary, Paul's response to Ecclesiastes. He talks about suffering in this world, but he talks about an eager expectation. For creation is subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what he already has? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. And what do we hope for? What do we see? What is it that God has given to us? He has given life. He has given life through Jesus Christ. What happens at the beginning, or just prior to that Mark Lowry sketch that I give, is he talks about abundant life. John 10:10b. I have come that you may have life more abundant. More abundantly good, more abundantly bad. Not sunshine and daisies, but just more life abundant. And not just life here on earth. Jesus came and he said, God says, for God so loved the world. Work with me. That he gave his only begotten son. Whoever believes in him will have everlasting or eternal life. Right? It's the verse we all know. It's the verse that's placarded all over the place. It's the verse that often we pay the least attention to. Because it's so familiar. But God is not about death. God is about life. And he has given that through his son, Jesus Christ. And you want to know who suffered most in death? It was Jesus. Abandoned, alone, abused, rejected, mocked, mistreated for things he didn't do. Dead, buried, and risen again on the other side. He has conquered death, that meaningless end, that unknown void. We can know. We can have hope. We can look and say, I lived on this earth and I did a bunch of really good things and there was value to that. When the end, when I die, I can know, but I can only know that through Jesus Christ. Through what God has done. Not because I was a good person, because just as good a person as I was equally a bad person. But because God sent his son, because Jesus died on that cross, because Jesus broke the barrier, conquered death and sin. And on the other side of that, looks back. Now here's the picture. Looks back and points and says, now it's your turn. I opened the doors. They will not close again. You are not stuck under the sun. Come above the sun, above into God's perspective. So we chase after immortality. We chase after life. And the teacher says there's no winning in that. It's all meaningless. And the second voice wise man says, no, there is meaning. There is hope. And it starts with God. Keep your focus on him. And not on the things around you that you cannot control. God doesn't, as I said, promise us a cushy life. He doesn't promise us, he does promise us an abundant life. And he wants you to enjoy the life that he has given you. It came to pass. So enjoy it. That rough year that you had this year, it came to pass. That fantastic year that you just had this year, sorry, it came to pass. But whatever it is, enjoy it here as God's gift to you. And when we look at it in the perspective of God has given us this life and we have this future hope ahead, then there is meaning to what I do. There is meaning to how I live. There is meaning to how I spend. There is meaning to how I work. There is meaning to how I engage with people. There is meaning to all of these things that we have then previously talked about, because the meaning is found in God and his glory and his redemption of us in heaven. Death in our life, in this perspective, is something to look forward to, because we can know on the other side is God. Now, we don't know what heaven looks like, but we know that there won't be any curses. We know that there won't be any sorrow. We know that there will be rejoicing in his presence as he intended it to be. Chase after that. The good news is you can catch it, because God's not running from you. He is running towards you. Let's pray together.